like to open it up for questions now. We think you have some questions for us.
Yeah, just a couple of questions, it could be yes or no, or some comments. Is the county aware that there is another project proceeding, which is the Cypress Point housing, where there's been a recommendation of the AR to close Carla Street? And have traffic considerations for that, and possibly as well as Bigwig, factor into the traffic analysis?
Yes, we are aware of the project, and if there's interest in commenting on Cypress Point, we put up a little sign with the QR code to go to provide formal comment. The draft environmental impact report is out right now. So any comments you submit here or talk about in terms of Cypress Point won't be formally submitted, so you should do that. But yes, the county is very aware of the development projects that are happening right now. And part of looking at, and if those of you who were involved in Connect the Coast side, one of the things that the goal of that project was to really look at what would build out of the mid-coast look like under the local coastal program. So if folks developed, where they are able to develop and allowed to develop, much like if you live here, you were able to develop on the property, looking at what the impacts of those would be long-term. So this project takes into account, we don't know what will happen, what will get developed and won't get developed ultimately, right? The county receives applications for developments that sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. What this project is trying to take into account is the future of what traffic impacts would be if we have built out. So yes, projects like, not specifically, you know, Cypress Point in terms of that project exactly, but more like the build out of that project in the future. Right here?
Yes. A long time ago, I mean, I've been attending these meetings long before 2009. I've lived in Moss Beach for 35 years, and the intersection I have to turn left out of a lot is Cypress, which is where most of the accidents and fatalities have been happening. But in Monterra, they have a center lane for pulling out, and like an acceleration lane, if you would, to wait till it's safe and then pull in from the middle lane. And I don't see that alternative here at all. And it seems like it would be a lot cheaper to put that in than to have two roundabouts and a traffic signal. So I just wonder why you didn't think of that. Like they have it in Monterra.
Yeah, so this is all long term. So my son is 11. Once this is starting, he will be 18.
I'll be
7 years if everything goes smooth. Probably it will be 10 years away. I think I live on Cypress Avenue on the corner. I think it's very urgent. I don't see any short-term solutions here, and I have plenty for you if you want.
That's the worst intersection.
Why don't we hear on this first question about this alternative option?
I'd rather see you, my personal thought would be start at Cypress, because they promised that when they put the Bigwig project in, and then they allowed the developer to weasel out of putting in their contribution for that intersection. So we still have nothing, but they broke ground already. And I would like to see you start at Cypress and then maybe California and finally up at 16th. There's nobody up there right now but the Monterra Water Sanitary District and the Lighthouse and a few neighbors on Cypress. It's not a heavily used intersection because of the line of sight. It's not as heavily used as Cypress.
I'll take this as a comment, and you still would have to cross over to access that median lane. So that
it's
so,
true, but there's no way that
understand.
You have to pull out going like at the speed of traffic since there's no acceleration.
So we'll take that comment. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it actually sort of dovetails into what she said. You know, roundabouts do cost a lot of money. I think it's fantastic. You did a great job. This is really enlightening to me about this whole thing. But what we really have, as far as life safety goes, are certain intersections, like in Cypress. There's been a lot of close accidents. They could have been fatal accidents. And to wait 10 years to get a roundabout in and spend $14 million, which I think is admirable, did you look at putting in a temporary light, say at Cypress? And she mentioned the Bigwig project. Caltrans would not let Bigwig put that light in.
We didn't want a light there anyway.
Have you looked at doing something temporary for life safety issues until this 10 years to build this?
Just, are you talking about
traffic light at Cypress.
A traffic light's not lighting up the intersection, traffic lights.
Yeah, temporary light until you can get the funds and way to build the roundabout.
Or even slow down the speed. I mean, Moss Beach has a 50 mile per hour speed limit, which is higher than the rest of the coast.
It's 45 in Moss Beach.
It's weird.
Yes.
There is 45.
45.
Still doesn't help getting out.
I think just, I mean, and I was like, ask the project to weigh a little bit this more. I don't think, you know, there aren't really temporary projects when it comes to Caltrans' perspective, right? Like, we still have to go through this process, we still have to go through the design, and so we're thinking about, right, like, long-term. I think, you know, Caltrans for, in certain cases, when it's like a maintenance issue or a safety issue, there are sometimes things that can be done, but some of the things that we're talking about now are still sort of major changes to the highway.
Right, but it's all or nothing then, and that's the problem.
That's the problem, yes.
It's all or nothing, and when you can do things incrementally, you can get the money faster, and it may save a lot of lives. I think that's the point.
And that's.
Understand.
Yep.
Sir, in back, Richard?
Yeah, hi. Dan Ariyama, resident of Elgin, 55 years, and also a Midcoast Community Councilor, speaking to my friends, so. As far as what you said earlier about the roundabouts, obviously it's going to slow down traffic, but you said that it would keep flowing. Well, how can Highway 1 flow and not come to a complete stop when there's going to be more and more cars in the circle? You can't run right into the car in the circle. The car that's in the circle has the right of way. If there's a car in the circle, Highway 1 has to come to a complete stop, and then there will be a shockwave effect all the way down. We've got a platoon of 35 cars approaching at 60 miles an hour.
Especially on the weekend.
Especially on the weekend, you know, the list goes on and on, you know, a weekday, good weather, any kind of event, pumpkin festival, et cetera. So, you know, you're giving a false claim that the traffic is going to keep moving. So when a car is coming out of California and wants to go left, they have to make a right. They go in to that circle, and now the car is in the circle, stopping cars from coming in.
Sir?
Continuing on, and then with each one, what's the speed limit? It's going to be 20, 15, 20 mile an hour through there, okay, versus what it is today. So with that model, you're going to have little, just trickling of cars at a regular interval, which will not allow for breakage down the point, down the road, for cars to actually enter in, because you're going to just have an annoying car there all the time.
Ramsey, is something that you can speak to?
Roundabout.
Thank you.
You know, there are different ways to design a roundabout, and the analysis is going to be done, and you're bringing up some very good points. And part of the analysis is to look at the traffic demands in the opening year. In this case, we'll look at 2030 and 2050. With the traffic demands are the traffic engineers who run the models. They would be analyzing and bringing up your concerns and seeing if it works. There is a possibility that a roundabout may not be the ideal situation for this intersection. You're right. But at this stage, we don't know. We will be doing that in the next stage, where we will looking at the details of, again, what are the forecasts for, in this case, 2030 and 2050, taking those demands and having the models run. And that information would be shared with the community. But you are bringing up some good points. I understand.
Thank you.
Okay. So, I'm a longtime Coastside resident. 16th Avenue is, you might as well play Russian roulette. I've almost been killed a couple of times, run off the road. It's a blind intersection. Even with a stoplight, I bet you $1,000 there'll be accidents, people plowing right into a stoplight in a red. I'm sure of it. You can't see it. You can't see it where the post office is at the bottom there, where Carlos comes out the Ethel door. So it's totally blind. People go 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. There's no enforcement on the coast side, very little. and you put a, I mean, it needs a light, but good luck. It's, you're playing Russian roulette on Highway 1 right there, California. But definitely 16th is off the chart for, that's where a fatality was. A lady was killed going to the lighthouse, making a left-hand turn, going into the lighthouse. She got rear-ended, going to a yoga appointment, and they couldn't see her. It's too narrow. Needs to be either widened, and that's not probably not possible. So it's kind of a bad area.
It's a good point, and we understand that. There's ways to mitigate that, but that include lighting it, advanced warning signs, advanced flashing beacons, and you know there are ways to do that. But you know, we do what we can, we have in our toolbox, to make these intersections as safe as possible.
It's just not visually. You can't see it.
We understand that. With that, you know, there is a sight distance we'll be looking at. You know, is it vegetation, or do we need to do a little bit of trimming of the side hills? Right. The sight distance is very important in these type of situations.
And then people always take the lowest common denominator, as you know, in driving. Okay, it's easier. Okay, I'm not going to go Carlos. I'm going to go Ethelthorpe. Okay, I can't get out on California Marine. I'm going to go down to the very end of Ethelthorpe, come out by the airport area. I mean, people are not stupid. And then with Google, people are coming onto residential areas on their maps, and they're going on Carlos Street, they're bypassing Highway 1, especially during busy weekends. It happens all the time.
Thank you, sir. We're going to answer some more questions. Ma'am, in the back.
Thank you, Diane Deborah, Musk Beach resident. I have not heard how these three options will be determined. What is the criteria that will be used to pick these various options?
Thank you.
So the alternatives would be, would move into the, what we call the environmental phase. And in the environmental phase, there are a series of technical studies that are done. From an environmental perspective, each of the alternatives, we would see what type of impacts they have on wetlands, what impacts they have on species out there. From an engineering perspective, we look at utilities. There are utilities out there that are impacted. There are some cases where we need to take property. There are the operational improvements that we're going to talk about. We'll talk about a little bit. The traffic operations would be analyzed for 2030 and 2050. And what we call this measure of effectiveness. They would be compared, the alternatives would be compared against the no build. And so there's gonna be a series of technical studies done. The environmental document would be then circulated for public comment. In this case, I think it's gonna be 30 days, I think, for this type of document. There will be a meeting like this where the project would be presented with more detail and comments received. And once the comments are put together, the team of consultants with Caltrans would look at each of the comments and provide a response and package the whole environmental document. With that, the next step is Caltrans goes through what they call as a project development team. All of the experts at Caltrans, including the stakeholders, which is the county and the transportation authority, will sit together and look at the options or the alternatives and determine and make a recommendation to select one of the alternatives as the alternative that we move into design. And ultimately, it would be the district director of Caltrans who would approve the selected alternative.
Okay, that's a process, that's not a criteria. So thank you for walking through the process, but is this decision based on environmental impact? Is it based on meeting your goals measurably? Is it based on lowest cost option? And what is the criteria that this
All of those that you mentioned are going to be a criteria to evaluate. All of them.
Sir?
It is, yes, all of them.
Yeah, I'm Mark Dinn, I'm a fairly new resident of Moss Beach. It seems like there's a lot of interest in the community to accelerate or to have quicker solutions. Maybe you can comment if there's any opportunities for the community to help possibly bring a schedule. I did notice that all the phases, like PAB and PCU phases, are not funded.
Yeah, I'll start, and I'd love for anybody else to roll it. So, I mean, we're like pursuing this project as a whole so that we can environmentally clear it as one thing, right? So that, but in terms of actually working on implementation, that might end up happening in phases as we seek funding for it. So, you know, we're looking at large federal grants already as an opportunity. Like, there's federal land access grants. There's other ways that we can fund this project, but that hasn't, we're not quite there yet because we don't know what we haven't had an approval yet. So I think that in terms of the actual project schedule, you know, I think that right now we're following an aggressive timeline based on Caltrans's requirements and, you know, the project team's understanding of how long things take. I think that there might be opportunities to work with Caltrans and work with the team to figure some different pieces out, but, you know, at this point, that's sort of where we're at in terms of project timeline.
So, in the interest of time, we have a lot of questions and a lot of staff members who can answer those questions. I'd like to disperse this group so you can ask anyone with a name tag your questions. There's also a question and comment box up here where you can ask as well.